So we got the flyer in the mail, and I'd never heard of like a Bible-based program. And I just felt like it cannot hurt.
Christian was brand new to even the word Bible. Christian was very interested in where church was and what it was.
So Christian didn't grow up in church, but he's kind of always had this hunger. He was in LifeWise and he was coming home and telling me stories, so excited about it. It's his favorite part of the day. And he's like, I want to go to church. And I'm like, oh, okay. And Mrs. Romer reached out to me and was like, hey, I just wanted to invite you and your family to church. This was around like September of 2021. And we went and we loved it. And so now we're regularly attending that church.
Sure enough, they end up coming to our church, and God's doing some really cool things in their family. But then also, their son Christian, he's having a big impact. I talked all about Jesus and how he paid the price for our sins, and now our relationship with God is restored because of his death on the cross. So, and that was kind of how I ended it. Well, I walk away, and this boy named Christian brings over a small group leader, and he wants to talk with me. He comes up to me, and he's like, Mr. Mark, I heard what you talked about, and I just want to make sure you know that Jesus rose again. Did you know that? Like 3 days later, he rose, and he's alive. And I said, Christian, I was like, yes, I did know that, and I'm so excited that you know that.
I mean, really, it's changed the life of our whole family. We're going to church every Sunday. You know, Christian gave his life to God in his last day of LifeWise.
He needed somebody to pay for our sins, so God let him live a long life, and then he had to die because he had to pay. Somebody had to die for our sins.
You know, to think if I hadn't signed him up, I don't even know what our lives would look like. And like our story, it might not just be, you know, 20 minutes in a classroom. It might lead somebody to a church and change a whole household.
All right, as many of you know, LifeWise is an organization that's actually a community-led organization that's coming here to Tiffin, hopefully this school year. It's started by a football player from Ohio State a few years ago, and it has expanded dramatically. I think they're in like over 170 school districts here in the state, and now they're in 12 states. And so just a really cool thing. And our church, we have actually been able to play a role in LifeWise. We played a crucial role starting it at Fremont City Schools, and now we're working on Clyde, and we're trying to help out as best we can with Tiffin City Schools. Actually, it's some of you guys, part of our church. You guys are the ones out there going and do it, which is how it's supposed to be, and that's good. But basically, what LifeWise does is they are able to pull kids out of school. Usually, it's once a week during a recess and lunch type situation. They pull them out and they just teach kids the Bible, like just straight up truth. And so it's a great opportunity to kind of introduce the Bible to kids. I think we can all agree that the world needs a little bit more of that. And so it's an opportunity for us to play a part in reaching kids at Tiffin City Schools. So what we want to do today is something we haven't done in a long time. It's something that we call our Dollar Club. And that is, we just like to encourage you, if you call Grace Your Church home, to give a dollar or a few dollars towards LifeWise. This, you know, out of just like any other organization, it takes money to start up. And so we as a church here at Grace, we're not the only church helping, but we want to be a big help towards them. So there's a few different ways that you can give. You can just, you know, you could throw a few bucks in that envelope in the pocket in front of you. If you just write on the envelope Dollar Club as you walk by at the end of the service and just dump those into the offering place, that you could do that, and we'll make sure that gets to LifeWise. You could also give through your Church Center app, which I know a lot of you guys have kind of set up already. If you give through the app, you can just make sure you select Dollar Club in which fund you want to put it in, and then you could also do the same thing at ohiograce.com/give, and you could give that way as well. We will make sure that every dollar that you give towards our Dollar Club will go towards LifeWise and here in Tiffin, and so we'll make sure they get that, and it'll help them kind of get started up. Does that make sense? All right, we cool with that? Yeah. Okay, all right, we got one and maybe a couple. Okay, there we go. So, hey, I don't know about you, but I struggle with what to wear at weddings. Anybody else ever struggle with this? Okay, because everybody's kind of all over the map at weddings. Some weddings are super casual, and I officiate a lot of weddings, and so sometimes I've been at weddings where I officiate and I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Like, that's what they want me to wear. I'm like, cool, all right, I'll sign me up for any of those. Okay, I'm down with that. Usually I'm wearing like a suit and stuff like that, but just in general, if I'm like in the crowd, I struggle with what to wear. Like, do I wear a tie? Do I not? And this all started when Kate and I, we were just dating. I remember I was at her house in Chicago, and we were going to one of her friend's weddings, all right? So I don't even know these people. And I wore what I thought was, I put on my clothes that I brought that I thought was wedding okay enough, And I remember walking out, and she looked at me kind of up and down. I'll never forget this. And she was like, you're wearing that? First of all, I was like, okay, this girl's got some attitude. Didn't know that. We're going to have to work on that a little bit. Second of all, what's wrong with my clothes? And she was like, you do not wear that to a wedding. You cannot wear that. And that's all I had, and I wore it, and she was super embarrassed going with me, I'm sure. And so it all started there. I think that scarred me for life, because now I, like, struggle every single wedding. Some weddings, you get the invitation, it says casual. All right, what's that mean? You know what I mean? Does that mean jeans? Does that mean no collared shirt? Like, what does that mean exactly? It'd be so much easier if a wedding invitation just said, I want you to wear this. Then we all know, okay? Then I will wear that. A couple years ago, Kate's brother got married, and we went down, and on the wedding invitation, it specifically said, casual, no jeans. All right? I appreciate that. Okay, now I know what not to wear. Like, give me as much information as I can. Like, at least I know, thank you. And so we get down there. It was down in Jacksonville, Florida. We drive down there. We get down there. And we're getting ready for the wedding and everything. And I realized that I forgot my pants. All right? That's an important thing when you're at a wedding that doesn't take jeans. And all I had to wear was jeans. And I remember Kate was not happy with me, and I was, there's some miscommunication on who had my stuff, I guess. I don't know. But I remember on the way swinging by and picking up like a sport coat to kind of church it up a little bit. I'm like, that's better. But I remember that whole day I'm at this wedding, and I'm part of like the family, and I don't think anybody noticed my jeans, but I don't feel that way. I feel like all eyes are on me, because I feel like I'm severely underdressed to this wedding, and I feel like that everybody's thinking the same thing of like, I can't believe this dude is wearing the one thing that they specifically said we shouldn't wear. Like he's doing it, and it feels like everybody is judging me. Have you ever been in a situation where you just feel like everybody's judging you? You know what I mean? Maybe you're overdressed, maybe it's underdressed, maybe it's whatever. It could be lots of different situations. Maybe with your family, or maybe it's at work, or maybe it's on the team, or maybe it's at the gym, yeah? Or maybe it's at the store. You've been at the store, you know how that is when you're waiting in line to check out, and the person next to you, you look at their cart, they got like, that organic kale and like herbal teas and stuff, and you look at yours, and you're like, I got Mountain Dew and frozen pizza, And it's just like, don't look at my stuff. Like, it's embarrassing. You feel judged. And if you guys ever feel judged like at church, does that ever happen? All right, maybe you ever get to church late, and we all know when you get to church late, all the best seats in the back, you guys in the back, you guys take them all, okay? We all understand that. Those are the best ones, all right? You don't want to be up here close to me. And so all you late people, what you got to do? You got to walk all the way down in front of everybody while they're singing, and they sit in the front row. You know how that is, all right? And you feel like, we're not judging you here, by the way, right? All right? But you feel like, I'm not, all right? But you feel like everybody is judging you, like everybody's looking at me, this is so embarrassing, like that type of thing. Sometimes, the honest truth is like church people can be the worst. Even for me as a pastor, just last year, this happens once in a while, like I'll be meeting with some other pastors. Last year specifically, I remember I'm meeting with some pastors, and it kind of broke us up into groups and stuff, which I hate that stuff. Anyway, and they break us up into groups. We're all sitting in like a circle, basically, and they start asking us some questions. And one of the questions is always, it never fails. Like, this is always one of the main questions. They're like, hey, give us like the top 3 books you've read this year. And I'm like, dude, I've read like zero. You know what I mean? But everybody else, they're all going around the circle. They're like, oh man, top three. I don't know if I can do top three. Like I could give you top five, all right, because they're all so good. Just talking about all the books and all the reading that they do. And then it gets to me, I'm like, I pass. You know, like I haven't read anything. Does the Bible count? Okay, because I've read that. But that's like it. I haven't read a full book. You mean cover to cover? Or like just, you know. I haven't read anything like that. I'm not a reader. I'm a slow reader, so I don't read. But then I feel like everybody's looking at me, and all these other pastors are like, man, this guy, he does not care about his personal like growth. You know, he does not care about his church. He does not care. He's not reading, trying to make himself better, and all this stuff. Another question that's always asked is in these little pastor circles that kind of give you the glimpse in, is they'll say, what's your philosophy of ministry? And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know. It gets around to me, and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to reach as many people as I can before I die. Like, that's it. Like, that's as simple as it gets, because that's what Jesus tells us to do. And they're all just like, oh, no, that's good. That's good. That's good. But what's your philosophy of ministry? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, like, yes, I don't know. Or they'll ask them like super complicated question. I'm not exactly sure what the terms are. Like something like, do you lean more Reformed or more towards the fundamental orthodoxy? And I'm like, yeah. I gotta get my phone out. I'm like googling like what does orthodoxy mean? You know, trying to figure that out so I can answer that accurately. Because if you say the wrong one, they're like, what? You know, like you gotta watch out for that stuff. See, what's interesting is every single one of us in this room, we have all felt judged by others, and every single one of us in this room, we don't like it. Yet, we all judge others. You know, you do. All right, we all do this. You've been sitting at a restaurant. You ever done this? You got the family with some kids, and they're all like, kids are loud, and they're screeching and hollering. They're like banging their plate on the table. They're spilling stuff, some food flying everywhere. And what do you think? Right, you're looking at them. You're like, man, dude. You're looking at the dad. You're like, man, you need to get your act together. You're looking at the mom. You're like, she really needs to learn how to parent. Like, this is messed up. This is not how kids should be acting in public. And then I had kids, and I no longer think that anymore. I learned my lesson on that. I'm like, oh, man, this is just how it is, okay? That's why we don't go out to restaurants ever, you know, like that type of thing. Or you ever been driving down the road? You get that guy in the big old truck, you know, like riding your bumper. Isn't that annoying, okay? It's always a big guy in a big truck. And you're driving down, and it's funny because we never think to ourselves, oh man, he might be in a hurry because it might be a life and death situation. I might be in his way. We never think that. We're always like, dude, this guy is such a jerk. We like brake check him and all that kind of stuff. You know how that is? All right? That's how we always just assume it's the worst. Or that person who's late to everything. You know, you're looking at the time, you're like, Tammy's late again. All right, look at the time. She's always late, you know, and we judge each other. See, we don't like being judged, yet we judge others. See, for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about just some common beliefs that many of us have that simply aren't true. It's some common beliefs that make us feel good, all right, but they are not reality, and it's actually not even good for us to believe these things. And one of the most common beliefs that we have is we look at other people and we say, you can't judge me, or only God can judge me, or you're not the judge of me. And while parts of that are true, that's not exactly what God teaches us. And so today, what I want to do is I want to walk through probably the most well-known verse in the entire Bible. Most of us, we know this, that it's in there somewhere. All right, we don't necessarily know where it's at. We just know it's in the book, okay? And we like it. And it's actually something that Jesus says one time. We see this in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus one time says this to a whole crowd of people, right? They're all sitting around, like listening to him to a talk. He says, hey, do not judge so that you won't be judged. And we read this and we're like, yeah, that's right, Jesus. Like, go, Jesus. Even people who are anti-Christian, they know and love this verse, all right? They know and love this. They're like, okay, that's one thing that Jesus said that I can get on board for. See, we read this and we usually stop right there. The problem is, when we're reading the Bible, we really need to read more than one sentence to understand exactly what Jesus is saying. In fact, a few sentences later, Jesus is going to call a bunch of people dogs and pigs. I don't know about you, that sounds kind of judgy to me. And that's Jesus. Now, hopefully, as we walk through this today, this will sound somewhat familiar to you, because we actually just walked through some of these verses less than a year ago, last September, when we were talking about relationships. And so, for some of you guys, this should be like total review, right? Okay. So the question we should be asking is, what exactly does Jesus say? This is what he says. He says, do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard in with which you judge. Okay, all right, wait, what's he saying exactly? It's interesting because here in the very next sentence, you got Jesus assuming that we will judge others. And you're like, what was he saying here? I thought we weren't supposed to judge Jesus. All right, so here you are, you're saying don't judge, and now you're saying, but when you do judge, I want you to judge this way. And this is what we're going to try to figure out, and we're going to unwrap here. This is not about being judgmental. This is about exercising good judgment. So we're going to split this up in kind of two categories that Jesus seems to split judging up into. One we'll call being judgmental, okay? We don't like it when people are judgmental to us. And the other one we'll call exercising good judgment, and we'll kind of describe how these two things are different, okay? Sound good? All right. Being judgmental, let's define this, which we all do, by the way. Every single one of us in this room, including myself, we are all way too judgmental. When we do this, what we're actually doing is it's like us half forming an opinion about somebody else. And when we do that, we are making assumptions about that person. All right? We're making assumptions about the way they're thinking, about what they believe, about whatever they do. And maybe our assumptions are true, maybe not. But every single time we are judgmental towards other people, right? We look down on them. We look down on them. And we are always, we view ourselves as better. All right? I don't do that. I can't believe they did that. All right? I'm better at this. I'm better at that. I'm better in this certain area of life. Or maybe for you, you're just looking at their lives. You're just like, man, I'm just better at life than they are. Right? I got this stuff squared away. I got this taken care of. And Jesus hated that. He hated that attitude that we have, all high and mighty, thinking that we are better than other people. In fact, one time he told a bunch of people a different story. So this is about maybe 2 years after he says this, right? He tells a different story. We're going to see in Luke chapter 18. Let's jump out of Matthew 7 real quick. He says he told them this story to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, right? So that's, we know people like that. People who think that they are really, really, really good people, and they actually look down on everybody else who they deem as not as good as they. He says, picture this. Jesus tells him a story. He did this so often. It's incredible. He says, let's say two guys went up to the temple to pray. Right? Back then, this was very normal. This is where you would go to pray. He says, one's a Pharisee. All right? And a Pharisee was like a professional religious person. Can you believe that? All right, can you picture that? I mean, these people, they did all the rules. They followed everything to a T. They were super generous. They were really good people, generally. And they prayed a whole bunch, and they talked to God a whole bunch. They had parts of the Bible completely memorized in their minds. I mean, like, they were as religious as you possibly could be. He says one of these super religious people, and the other one was a tax collector. And back then, a tax collector was, like, the worst of the worst, like the scum of the earth. Okay? And so let's put this into kind of today's terms. Let's reread this. If Jesus was here today, talking to a group of people like us, this is what he might say. He'd say, picture two men, all right, went to pray, and one was a member of Grace Church, and the other didn't go to church at all. Okay? He says, the guy from Grace, he was standing and was praying like this about himself. He was standing and he's praying. Praying's a good thing. But he's praying to God. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Man, I thank you I'm not like the people outside these walls. I'm thankful. I thank you so much. I'm not like all those other people who struggle with all those different things. He says, those people who are greedy and unrighteous and adulterers, right? All those people, I thank you, God, that I'm not sleeping around and I'm not drinking too much. I'm not like those people who are addicted to drugs or are lazy or those people who can't stick to their job, or I'm not like those LGBTQ people. I'm thankful I'm not like them. Or I'm thankful I'm not like those pro-choice people. or those people on the right or those people on the left, wherever you stand. I am so grateful, God, that I am not like them. He says, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. I do all the good stuff. He's saying, I give. And what he's doing here is he's building a resume almost to God. He's looking up at God and he's praying to God. And he's like, man, I do all this good stuff. I go to church all the time. I give to the church. I try to give money. You know, I'm trying not to be greedy with my money. I do. Look at all the good that I've done in my community. See, he's doing exactly what a lot of us do. We build this resume that we think we're pretty good, and we kind of compare our resume to everybody else's resume, and we're like, well, I didn't do that bad thing, and I do this good thing, and they don't do that, and so I'm better than all these people around me. See, you think you make you righteous. That's the issue. And so that's what this guy's doing. He says, but the tax collector, or for us, it'd be like the druggie or the alcoholic or the person, the dude who has ripped his family apart, was standing far off, and he would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but he kept striking his chest saying, God, please, please, please have mercy on me because I am a sinner. Jesus says this. He looks out at the crowd. He says, man, I tell you, this one, the druggie, the alcoholic, he went down to his house justified rather than the person from grace. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. See, Jesus' point here is that there is not much difference between these guys' sin. See, what we do is we look at other people, think of like the worst person that you know in your entire life. Right? They've done all these things that maybe they've even done a lot of these things to you. And you look at them and we're just like, man, that is so bad. Or even we look at these two people, Jesus trying to, like, two opposite peoples when it comes to how they live their life. One lives their life really good, one lives their life really bad. And we look at them naturally from the outside because that's all we can judge on. And we're like, wow, that one is really good. He does a bunch of good stuff. Look how involved he is with the community. Look how, you know, he prays all the time and he reads his Bible and he knows his Bible. He goes to church. Like, he does all this stuff. And then we look at the other one and we're like, man, he is really bad. He's addicted to alcohol or drugs or, you know, whatever it might be. I don't want my kids around that type of person. And Jesus looks at, that's how we judge people. And Jesus looks at him. He's like, no. Both of them are really bad. They're both on the same playing field to me. The problem is only one realizes it. See, when we have Jesus' perspective of our sin, all of a sudden it's really hard to look down on others because of their sin, because we realize that we ourselves, we aren't any better than them. Because it's what's in their hearts. And what's in their hearts is in here too. So back to Matthew 7. Jesus is saying he hates it when we look down on others. He hates it when we're judgmental towards others and we look down on them. And Jesus is saying, so don't be judgmental. Don't live your life that way. Instead of being judgmental, we as Christians, we should be exercising good judgment. All right? And when you exercise good judgment, it's just different. We don't look down on anybody. Instead, we're coming, it's like the approach of we're saying, hey, I want to help you. I want to help you in your life. Exercising good judgment is more black and white. It's based on facts. It's what's true and false, good, bad, right, or wrong, in light of the way that God has called me to live my life. Really, the question that we should be asking when we're exercising good judgment is, what is the best thing for you? Or for us, it's what is the best thing for me to do? Or what does God say? What does God want in my life? See, us taking into account the way that God has called us to live our life, man, that is not being judgmental. That's exercising good judgment, which Jesus is telling us to actually do. But exercising good judgment is not something that any of us in here are good at. We're just not good at it, and I think Jesus gets it. So Jesus illustrates it for real quick. And the way I picture Jesus doing this, I think he's like smiling as he's talking in front of a large crowd. If you could picture this, he's kind of sitting on a hill. They're all sitting in the grass. He's and he He's just kind of smiling. He asks him a question. He says, why do you look at the splinter? And again, you guys have heard this just a few months ago. I hate the word splinter. Like, a splinter in your eye just kind of makes me weak. You know, I'm like, ugh, you know? And so let's call it speck, all right? Speck's so much better. Some translations use speck. Speck is a better word. We've all had a speck in our eye. Hopefully you've never had a splinter in your eye, all right? So, question. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? All right, why are you looking at that? It's interesting because here's Jesus. He uses this word for something super tiny, like a splinter or like a speck in somebody's eye. When we look at other people's life and when we're being judgmental, okay, it's interesting because it never looks like a speck to us. We see something in their life that should not be there. For us, we're like, whoa, that's not a speck, man. That is not a small thing that they did. This is a really, really big deal. I mean, she left me. He didn't do what he promised. They stole my idea. They humiliated me. And by the way, this is not the first time that this has happened. See, this always feels like, it always feels like more than a speck to us. But Jesus is saying, no. It feels like a big thing to you because you're judging wrong. It's actually a little thing. This is why you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't need to notice the beam of wood in your own eye. See, I think Jesus was funny. I think he's cracking jokes and stuff. We view Jesus like super soft, almost like woman. Not even like a bad thing in that sense. Just that's not what Jesus was. All right, Jesus. You know, I think he was kind of joking around. He's laughing. I think the crowd's kind of laughing at this. They're like, "What is he talking about?" He says this in the next verse. He says, how can you say to your brother, like, let me take that speck out of your eye? Which is so interesting because isn't that what we do? Right? Isn't that what we do? Don't we point things out in other people's lives and it, like we're really good at doing it. Like, oh man, that shouldn't be there. We're really good at recognizing it, that's for sure. Oh, that shouldn't be there. Oh, I can't believe you do that. You shouldn't be saying that. All those things. Like, isn't that how we feel when others are judgmental towards us? Like, hey, let me fix you. I can fix you. I know everything that's wrong in your life. I know where you're off. Okay, don't we feel that way? And here's Jesus. He's like, man, why do you do that? All right, that's not cool. All right, why are you doing that? He says, why do you say, let me take the speck out of your eye and look? Or really, it's the word like or wow. And he's kind of joking here. Like, looky there. Or what do we have here? There is a beam of wood in your own eye. Jesus is like, here's the deal. All right? You're trying to get this thing out of their eye, and maybe rightly so, because it is there. And you're like walking up, you're trying to get this speck out of their eye, but you got this dang 2x4 coming out of your head. He's like, you can't do that. How are you gonna see the speck if you got this chunk of wood coming out of your face? That doesn't work too well, which, by the way, some of you guys, when you're correcting others, that's how you do it, all right? It's like you got this big old thing, and nobody can see past it. He says, this is how you do it, and he smiles at them, and he looks at them, and he says, you hypocrite, or you faker, you actor, you pretender. First, meaning there's an order to it. See, Jesus is saying, you're not wrong about their speck. Like, it's there and it's a problem, sure. You just have things out of order. So easy for me to look at everybody's lives and go, shouldn't do that. Wow, that's messed up. That's not how I would do it. Wow, I can't believe you did that, you know? It's so easy for me to look at Pastor Mike's life and be like, man, I see all them little dust specks in his eyes and that shouldn't be there. You know, I should go and I should help him pull those things out, right? But Jesus is saying, there's an order to this. And the order is so important. First, he's saying, I got to take a look at my own life and see what I got hiding in my life. He says, first, take the beam of wood out of your eye. All right, take that, you remove the 2x4 out of your own face first. And when I do that, he's saying, and you examine yourself, what you realize is that it's there. That you got this big thing in your life that you need to take care of first before you can start getting all picky on other people's lives. You got this long list of things that we got to get right in our lives first. And so Jesus, he's just like, first, here's the order to it. Before you do anything, before you start correcting other people, he's like, why don't you start with your own business first? But it doesn't end there. He says, first, take the beam of wood out of your own eye. Makes sense. He says, and then, meaning if you do that and if you are humble enough and if you look at you first, he says, then you will see clearly, which makes sense. Because you won't have this thing, this beam of wood in your way, clouding your judgment. I mean, Jesus is almost like, he's like, man, I just want you to see clearly. You can't do that with that sin in your life. You can't do that with that thing in your eye. And seeing clear, you will be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do you notice what he says there, the second part? Do you notice that? Jesus says, after you remove the sin in your life, or after you remove that thing in your life that shouldn't be there, after you work on you, he says, then I want you to confront that other person. I want you to confront your friend or your adult son or daughter or sister or coworker or whoever it might be. And I want you to do that in a loving and gentle way. See, if I got something in my eye, let's say I'm in the atrium after the service, I got something in my eye, I got this like thing, you know, I walk up to you, I'm like, hey man, can you help me get this out? And you whip out your pocket knife? I'm just saying, I'm gonna be like, I'm good. I'm going to go find this another guy. You know, I'm going to go find somebody else. Appreciate your help. I mean, moms, you know this. Like, think about it. How do you get something out of your kid's eyes? Like a little speck out of your kid's eye? Man, you're all gentle. You're all careful about it. I mean, what you don't do, you don't smack them in the side of the head hoping the thing flies out. Some of you guys, this is how you do it. Like, that's what you do when you correct somebody. It doesn't work well. The way you do it matters. So we should be exercising good judgment on each other as we try to help each other do what's best in our life and do what's right in our life, and we should be doing that in a gentle and careful way. All right, so what's that mean, Zach? You're saying, okay, so I just go around and I exercise good judgment on everybody? All right, is that cool? Not exactly. One time Paul clears this up for us. We see this in 1 Corinthians. Paul, he just asked. He's talking to another church, kind of like ours. And he's just like, man, for what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? All right, who are the outsiders here? Outsiders are non-Jesus followers. So these people who are not into Jesus, okay? The people outside these walls that are not into Jesus or the Bible or anything like that. And so he's asking, he's like, what business is it of mine to judge those people? The answer, by the way, is nothing. We have no business judging them. The church does not need to judge the world. I don't know why church people struggle with this so much. It's not rocket science, right? Lost people act like lost people. Can you imagine that? That's how it works. Lost people act like lost people. So we need to get used to it. Now, what's that not mean? That doesn't mean that we sacrifice what's right or wrong to agree with somebody or whatever. Like, no. We stick to the right and wrong based on not our preferences, but based on what the Bible and what God says. And so, of course, we always promote doing what's right, but we don't judge and we don't look down on the world because they're not following the way God tells us to do life, because they don't know. They're lost. Instead, we are to exercise good judgment on each other. Again, not based on preference or, hey, I don't like it when you do that, or when you really do that, that really annoys me. I hate that. You know, nothing like that. But based on what is truly right and wrong in the book, that's where we get our basis. So God's saying, using your Bible as your guide, we should be gently calling out sin, not out there, but in here. And most of us, we don't do it. We don't do that. We care a lot more about judging the world than we do our church family. That's for sure. Why is that? We do that because, if you're like me, man, it's awkward, right? I mean, it's so uncomfortable to go up to somebody and say, hey, man, I'm just saying, I saw you do this. You shouldn't be doing that. Like, this is not the path you want to go down. You're thinking about doing this, that's not good, right? Because the Bible says this. You know, it's so awkward, but let's get down to the root reasons of why it's awkward or why it's uncomfortable. The root reason is we love us a lot more than each other. We love ourselves a lot more than the rest of our church family, and we need to be people who are not afraid to exercise good judgment on each other here in our church family, and we all need people in our life who will exercise good judgment on us. And when someone steps into our mess of a life, and when somebody is bold enough to exercise good judgment on us and let us know, we should be thankful for it. You should be thankful. Instead, we say things like, who are you to judge me? You can't judge me. All right, only God can judge me. Who do you think you are? He's going to judge you, all right. You realize that. That's coming for each and every one of us. I mean, think about it. Reality, someday in your future, you will have to give an account for everything you've done here on earth. I don't know about you. That should freak you out a little bit. As you stand before the Almighty Judge, all right, the one and only judge. I mean, that's a scary thought. It is for me. But in between now and then, you're going to want a lot of people to exercise some good judgment on you before you get there. That just makes sense. I mean, think about this. We don't think about this that much. Doesn't it seem like a good idea for you to experience some good judgment here on earth before we go to the final eternal judgment? Right? Huh? Okay, yeah, we got 5 people who agree. Okay. Yet, instead, what do? We do the opposite. Like, we all get offended and ticked off when someone steps in and says, whoa, hey, why don't we work on some things here before we get there? Like you're out of step with the way God wants you to live your life. See, if you're serious about growing in your relationship with Jesus, here's the deal. Listen into this. You need others. You just do. That's how God has designed us. That's how he has created us. You should have friends who love you enough to point out your issues. And if you got good people in your life who take a chance to point out how messed up you actually are, and you stiff arm them, and you get defensive, man, you might find yourself stiff arming God, which is a scary thing, because God may be using your friend to point out the area that he wants you to work on, an area that he wants you to fix. And so the question is, for this morning, when you're out of step with Jesus, do you have people in your life who love you enough to exercise good judgment on you? Do you have people in your life who love you enough to exercise good judgment on you? And if you don't have anyone pointing out when you're wrong, maybe you need to invite someone to do so. Someone who is a fellow believer, someone who's given their life over to Jesus, hopefully just like you. Someone that's not telling you their opinions, but telling you what God says. Someone that can come up to you and say, hey, hold up, bro, dude. You are heading down the wrong path in this area of your life, and this isn't right, and this is not good for you. Do you got friends like this? Friends that will say, I care more about you than what you think about me? The other question is, are you this type of friend to somebody? Or are you more concerned with what your friends think about you? See, here's the deal. Love forbids me from simply minding my own business when I notice that your business needs minding. That's not judgmental. That's exercising good judgment. That's love. We all need it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this. And this is not something that we're good at. Lord, we're not good at differentiating between being judgmental towards others and exercising good judgment, which is what you call us to do. God, too often we look down upon people who are not like us and down upon people who don't agree with the way we think, or down upon people who aren't following, who aren't doing life the way that you call us to live. Well, we're doing pretty good. At least that's what we think. God, that's not right. We need your help to help us locate those times and those people in our lives that we do that to, and extinguishing it, taking care of it. killing it. God, we thank you for loving us so much. You die for us because you just love us. It's crazy. God, we thank you so much. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, church, let's stand and respond in song as we